And we are in this precious journey through 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 30. And so grateful to God of what our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been made unto us. And we started off a couple weeks back. He's been made unto us wisdom. Isn't that wonderful? And we're thankful how the Lord came in and gave us such, a vision of these four living ones and how they line up so sweetly with these four glories that the Lord has been made unto us. So we saw the wisdom, and we saw that in the first beast, which is the lion. We saw last week was the righteousness. We saw that wonderful encouragement that that we find in that calf. And tonight, God willing, we're going to get into sanctification. So let's go ahead and read verse 30. It says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And tonight it's sanctification, praise the Lord. That translates out in the Greek, it means holiness. It also means to be separated. We thank God for that. That's what sanctification is. Now, I appreciate this word I've heard before. Positionally, as Christians, we are holy and sanctified through the blood of Jesus. We are. And I thank God. It's just like we speak of often. We have a little baby in the natural. Moms and daddies, we have these little babies. When that baby's born, that baby's not going to be any more human than that baby is at that time. They're fully human. But they can grow up into that humanness. Amen? And we can, and that's what we want them to do, is to grow up into every bit of what that life can be, even as moms and dads in the natural. But just like positionally we are sanctified through the blood, that's just the beginning. And I think how excited I am to have grown in the truth, and we're going to find out. It's the word of his grace that does this through the power of the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what, the knowledge and power of what a sanctified life is in Christ is absolutely amazing. I am so thankful to God that through him, through Christ alone, our lives are growing more set apart to him. And how powerful that life is, isn't it? I mean, you're standing on the rock that's higher than you, and you know it. And there's things that come, but as the Lord's continue to separate you unto him, it's amazing. There's nothing like that power. That is Holy Ghost power. And that is what he, again, has been made unto us. So just like we saw with wisdom and righteousness, we can fully grow up in that wisdom. We can fully grow up in righteousness. Well, the same is true for sanctification. We can grow up fully in the power of the sanctified life that we have in Christ. And I think it's always amazing with the Word of God and how fitting it is for us, and how God in his faithfulness, he types these things in our own lives. But it always comes back to, he wants that little heir and that little heir of all. He wants us to grow up. That's all he wants. He wants us to fully grow up into him in all things, to be that joint heir together with Jesus Christ. And yes, by the blood we're sanctified, we're set apart, and we are set apart from the penalty of sin. Know that. See, we're set apart from that sin. We know that, and we're thankful to God that we're justified. But now to be separated by the word of his grace from even the power of sin, that's a pretty amazing thing. So separated that we even grow into being glorified together with him. Lots of people get that a little bit confused. They think a life, well, separated from the power of sin. Oh my goodness, I've got to live quite a life for that. Now, you got to fall in love quite a bit for that. Matter of fact, totally in love. It's amazing what love will separate you from. Amen? It'll separate you from everything, really. True love does. It just kind of just continues to separate you to it. But see, and that's, I think, what's very important here. It's not necessarily what we're separated from. It's what we're separated to. And I love that. You see, it's just like many will say, well, you go out from them. You go out from the camp. No, you go out unto him out from among the camp. See, it's always the Lord. You're never going to go anywhere in the things of God without going in to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? It's always that move is to him. He'll take care of everything else, but it's always Christ first. We go to him, and as we go into him and we go on with him, everything else begins to fade away. All those things that we thought were so important, my goodness, you almost don't even remember anymore. It's just like we've talked about even the thorns, and I can see that transformation happening in my own life. I think we have to receive these things so sweetly in testimony and God dealing with us. But it's just like these thorns, and I'm talking about deliverances that maybe we've wanted for maybe our almost entire lives, things that just seem to never leave you. But as the Lord has shown you, you grow in me. It doesn't matter if I'm in the furnace still. It doesn't matter if I'm in that lion's den. He's there with me. He's got my attention. I don't even recognize where I'm really at. I'm just looking at him. And I pray that we're really receiving that and understanding that. And he just keeps it. And he keeps it all perfect because it's in Christ. Now, this is our life with him. And I'm thankful to God that we pray that, Lord, you must increase and I must decrease in everything. I want him to increase and I want to decrease. See, the new man in me needs to be reigning so that the maturity of grace is received in my life. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. I want to rejoice in the grace of God. But there's nothing more powerful than the grace of God. And how the grace of God separates us out from this world. And it does. It's so powerful, that life that we live in Christ. Now, let's begin by understanding this. In John 10:36, Jesus was sanctified for us. That's how it happened. He was sanctified for us. See, the plan of God, brothers and sisters, set him apart for us. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, because this is how far our Lord was set apart for us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it said, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." That's how far he was set apart for us. That is, I'll tell you, that cross. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. And he was made sin alone. And I thank God I remember that day that it really struck me that my precious Savior faced an alone that not only I will never know, but no one will ever know, not even the Father, how alone, how far he was set apart for us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's all because of his great love, brothers and sisters. We rejoiced last week, that red heifer. That was all done outside the camp. Completely set apart. But see, that story of being set apart goes on. See, the only way that he could be really set apart is, you know, he had to be made one of us. Did you know that? He had to leave the throne. He did. And he had to be set apart, in a sense, from God. The Lamb of God for us. Praise his name. He had to be made a man for him to be made sanctification unto us. And in that sanctified life that he lived, praise God for us, it was a perfect life. He was tested in all manner. See, that's again the beauty of our Lord. It wasn't just that, and he could have done that. He could have just said, well, this is the way it is. I'm God and this is how I've created and everything's the same. But it's not the same. It's not the same if he wouldn't have been made one of us. Amen. And all of those glories that we receive from the plan of God, one of the greatest is that he was tested and tried in all manners as we. He understands. And he doesn't just understand because he made it, because that was his plan, but it's because he lived it. And he lived it as man. Yes, perfect man. But he still knows our infirmities. He knows your infirmity. He knows it so personally. And not only did he know it, he bore it for you. And not only did he bore it for you, He won the victory over that. Whatever you're facing tonight, an insecurity, a doubt, a hurt, a bitterness, an anger, He already won that victory for you. He knows you. He knows you. He knows you, praise God. Know that. Rejoice in that precious set apart one that again has been made sanctification unto us. But I thank God because His victorious life is now imputed to us by faith. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. How did that happen? Because He was made unto us sanctification. That's how set apart you are. The realm, praise God, that we live, for we are now the sons of God. And we're so set apart, He told us, you're not your own. You're mine. And I'll tell you what, when you're His, you're set apart. But we need to realize the beauty of being set apart. The beauty of the godly, jealous love that we're loved with. He's jealous over us with that love, that godly, jealous love. And it's overwhelming when we see that in the light of what it is, how great a love wherewith we are loved. But brothers and sisters, it's wonderful. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We are set apart by faith from man's reality when we live God's unlimited possibility. Where do you live? Really, I don't want your address. But I pray that you live seated in the heavens in Christ. Amen. That's where we're seated. Our citizenship is in heaven right now. I thank the Lord that, you know, truly this life that we now live, it's not the life of Jesse or Joe or Mary or Tom or Betty. As a Christian, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God because Christ Jesus lives in me. He lives in me. It's His life. Praise God. So what life is that? It's supernatural, is it not? Amen. It's a life right now, praise His name, that is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's that same life, that same love, that same power, the same passion that the Father has for His Son Jesus is the same passion that He has for you. He has no favorites. It's the same life. We just got to get this. I know it's hard because we start thinking with this and then we start looking at that. And it's like, oh, how could that be? I don't go by this, do I? And I certainly don't go by this. I go by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And you know what that is? That's the Word of God. And that Word of God's true. And He loves you so much. And how He is, He's... We're being transformed into His very image and the renewing of our minds. See, it needs to have this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And to understand that. And truly, I love that. I am set apart. You talk about sanctified faith. I'm set apart from man's reality because I'm living God's unlimited possibility. That's the truth. Stay with me on this. The power of a sanctified life, knowing that I am not of this world. We're going to read of that. You're not of this world. Just like he said, I'm not of this world and you're not of this world. You're of me. You have to receive this. We are citizens of heaven right now. We are seated in the heavens right now. Maybe it's summed up, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? Let me ask you something. Who can take your life? I will assure you that you will not have one more breath or one less breath than the one, again, and the only one that will call you home. Right? Ask Jonah. He tried to take his own. It don't work. I'm not encouraging you to do that. We're not here to tempt God, are we? But I want you to know who has you, who keeps you. Again, sure, all Christians, we know this, are free from sin and death, but I can live through that life of Christ in me, the power of His Spirit such power that I am free from the power of sin. As Paul said, not letting sin reign upon my life. I love this. See, we're of the light. We're not of darkness. We're children of the light. Amen. And we need to be about the light, don't we? And we need to be sober. We don't need to be in that darkness because we're not of that. And we don't want to be asleep as those that are drunken in that night. No, we're of the day. And I thank God that day is coming. And there's a trump that's about to sound. But I get it, and I'm not trying to get strange on you here, but I get that I'm in this human body. I understand that I'm in this world that's governed by, in a sense, human knowledge. But the one thing I really get, I am seated in the heavens in Christ. I know that my God supersedes any domain I may physically be in. Do you know that? He supersedes any situation you're in right now too. I've seen him do it over and over. I've seen things, and you have too, because of God. You know, God, you know, he can have water come out of a flinty rock. This is the God we're talking about. He can take a sea and he can part it. He can make it dry ground. It wasn't muddy. You know, and they have that about, you know, oh my goodness, they had to go over the big rocks and the weeds. Let me tell you something, that thing, it was smoother than this carpet right here rolling out there. I'm confident. That thing just, woo, look at this. If we could get our engineers and our highway departments, CDOT, you know, doing that, we would have been in good shape, huh? You better know this stuff. This is your God. See, this is the God, praise the Lord, that loves us. He can heal the unhealable. He can comfort the uncomfortable. He can save the unsavable. With God, all things are possible. So where I want to be is I want to get set apart in my faith. Amen. Isn't that really what Paul's gospel is? Yeah. It truly is, isn't it? It's set apart faith. Matter of fact, in the Word of God, it's called the most holy faith. That's right. You're set apart way out there. And most Christians want you to get way further out there. Just get out there. It was testified again today. Brother was very sad, testified to some people. Actually, a sister was telling me that she testified to some ones, and she gets sad hearing, well, I don't want to hear that. You know, people of God, they're saved, might even be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you start to, you know, tell them about the deeper things of God, the bridal truth. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want to have that fellowship. And you're going to have to go on. And it does hurt you because that's your family, but you got to go on. Now, that's just it, brothers and sisters. He is all, it's all him, isn't it? And it's all by him. And we grow in that wondrous sanctified life by him. We are sanctified by truth. We're sanctified by knowing him and knowing, praise the Lord, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Go on over to John chapter 17. Here we go, getting some wondrous scripture here. And it just lays it right out about this sanctified, this set-apart life and how it grows. But in John 17, verse 16, Jesus is speaking here. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. He's talking to the Father. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. It's the truth, isn't it? See, the truth is what, if you want to think of it this way, I know people talk about holiness and all. Well, we are holy. A child of God is holy. But to be holy and to grow in that holiness, it comes through truth. It comes through the word of his grace. That's how we grow. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the more you grow in truth and love, the more you grow in spirit and truth, the more you'll be set apart to him. The more you'll find such sweet fellowship with those that too are set apart unto him. But then those that don't want to go, you'll find yourself more and more set apart from them. No matter if they're your closest family, no matter if they have been your closest friends, there's something about the love of Jesus that will separate you. It will separate you unto him. And you'll know that. Paul in Romans 1:1, it says, he says, I was separated into the gospel of Christ. Isn't that something? See, Paul didn't separate himself. He was separated to the gospel. See, people try to get religious, they try to get holy, and they're going to do something. Again, they're going to work something up. See, I've got to take a vow. You don't do that. You go boldly to that throne of grace and learn the truth. And I love that. We've heard this through the word of God. You sit still and you listen. You want to grow up, sit down and listen. Everybody wants to be heard. They want to talk. God said it real straight. Fellas, you better quit trying to do religious acts in your own self by building these altars to all these prophets and everybody you think you need to acknowledge. I'm going to tell you one time only. You hear him. And that's all you do. And it's only him. Because he's my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now, I'll tell you what. I want to have that encouragement and I want to please my father like that. And you know how I please my father? I listen to him. I listen to what my father wants. You know what my father wants? He wants his son Jesus to be praised. With all that is within me. He wants me to rejoice. He wants me to know him. He wants me to grow up into him. He wants me to truly just be a vessel to the praise and the glory of the marvelous grace and truth. As John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Yeah. Yeah. All of these ones that really got something in the Word of God, you know where they got it? They got it looking at him. And that's how we'll get it. Looking at him. Right here in this Word of God. I love how David said it in Psalm 4:3. It says, he set apart that is godly unto himself. See, the godly things he'll set apart to himself. They're jewels. They're his inheritance. He's going to take that, see? But it even gets better, brothers and sisters, and it's better for us because the Word of God says we've got a better thing. We have exceeding great and precious promises. So let's go on over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 21, get a load of this. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, worth very grace that we have heard this over the years, time and time again. That special vessel only for the master's use. We heard that expressed with the mustache cup. You know, I always love that. You know, the guy's got a mustache cup. Well, I'll tell you what, that's hidden away in a special place. He's not going to bring that out and share his mustache cup. I could give you the same thing for a toothbrush. I don't think you want to come over and say, hey, I'd like to share you my toothbrush. That's my vessel, okay? And I know you don't want to have anything to do with it, but that one's mine. Well, this is something that's so glorious to him, so personal to him, such a treasure to him, that it's just set away and shut up for the master's use. And the beautiful thing about this portion here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, which is so beautiful, you go back and read it again and again. But what it's talking about is Timothy being separated to Paul's gospel, separated from all of the winds of doctrine, separated from any of the error that's out there, but to truly be separated into the word of his grace and just to settle down in that gospel. But see, this is what the Lord is about, and this is what the Lord is about with us. He wants us for himself. This is that rib portion, brothers and sisters. I was thinking again, you know, Adam and Eve, they had precious children. There was fruit that was produced, and they came forth. But I was thinking again, that wife for Adam, you know, Adam, again, God picked up that dust, and he breathed into. But yet that wife for him was made of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. His, if you will, that soulmate, that helpmate, came right out of him. And that's exactly what the wife for Jesus will be. She'll be like him. She's of him. It's just, it's so beautiful as we see this typed and graced in our lives. But see, the Shulamite, she sees that nothing can compare. She sees the value, praise God, in his love. The other virgins, it says, you know, those daughters of Jerusalem, in a sense, the other virgins, they had other loves. They loved him, but they didn't. He wasn't the only one. He wasn't the first love. But to her, there was no other. And that, brothers and sisters, is she'll be as that queen that takes that place that is the most precious to him. You go on over to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read from Ephesians 5. And this is the glory that this set apart one is to him. And I love this because there's so much encouragement in it. But in Ephesians 5, and we'll read from verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church." A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, set apart, and without blemish. That means a chaste virgin to him. So as you read this, which is so sweet, we know this isn't speaking of the whole church. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." See, this is speaking of a precious part within. This is the glory in the church. You'll read of that there in Ephesians 3. See, there's glory in the church. There will be those that truly will go on with him, that will be that glory for him. And it's going to come one way. It's going to come by that word. And in that, these ones that will go, they'll be without that spot or wrinkle. They won't have even a blemish. It'll be that chaste virgin unto him. He'd just be smitten with her. That's what the Lord wants. She's all his glory. She is the glorious church. Glory in the church. Glorified together with him. Amen. That's the set apart that by the grace of God he wants us to grow into. That's the set apart that he's been made unto us, sanctification that he wants us to go on with. And see, the Lord, he showed us and lived this as man for us. And it was very magnified. Now we're going to talk about how does this kind of really transpire in our life as well, too, with the truth and with our lives. Well, Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness, wasn't he? And he was tested, and there was a proving of the word, and it was a proving for us. Jesus Christ went out there, and he was led by the Spirit. And he showed us that the power of the word defeats Satan every time. He showed us about the sanctified life. As you, again, go unto him out from among the camp, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. But it's the written word. It's the written word that's your victory. It's the same. It's the same yesterday and today and forever. He showed us as a man how you face the enemy. It is written. The promises of God are yea and amen. Just like speaking to that young man who gave his heart to the Lord last night, I handed him a Bible and I said, now, brother, it's all there. This word backs you fully. All the promises of God, all of those blessings, all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, they're yours right now. You have them. And he gave his life, and the Father gave his Son for you to have that. And just crying. And I know the Lord is having him receive this. But what a shame it would be with what the Lord had done to give you everything of heaven if you would just squander the knowledge of it. Squander the growth of it as opposed to just devouring this and feasting on it and becoming versed in it, praise God. It's for you, but then the power be unleashed, again, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that sword would be wielded by His Spirit, that you're facing these foes, and by the grace of God, it is written, it is written, it is written. Oh, I will not fear what man can do unto me. As we read earlier, he's for me. Who could be against me? Praise be to God. Well, see, only the Spirit can separate us unto him. Romans 15, 16 says we're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1, 2 says, through sanctification of the Spirit, we become obedient. Isn't that interesting? Again, by the Holy Ghost, we become obedient. Think about the obedience in marriage. That should be an obedience in a sense like none other. The Lord always is encouraging children to be obedient. But we know very well the only thing that will drive that from them to be obedient, we best not spare that rod, the Word of God says. But yet there's an obedience in marriage that isn't forced. It's not done by, as some cultures even do, by beating, which is horrible. It's an obedience out of love. You want to. What can I do? I'm willing. This is that obedience of the Holy Ghost that only the Holy Ghost can bring, because he takes the love of Christ and he sheds it abroad in your heart. That's why we need more of a life of Spirit and truth, don't we? Because all of us, I know we face it different times. Lord, I want to be more obedient. I don't want to be chasing this thing in my life and that thing in my life. Well, now we're back to again to be immersed in truth and love. That he increases so much that I decrease. That he increases so much that the things that I thought I loved in life just seem to fade away. The things that gave me problems, I don't think about anymore. I don't hand people getting married a list of rules. Okay, here's 1 through 100. You check these babies off. You got a good marriage. No. The thing I always remind them, why are you here today, and never forget it? It's because you love each other so much, you couldn't be apart. If that will be driven home every moment, I'll tell you what, you're going to be in love. Because you're going to nurture that. You're going to foster that. You're going to want to keep that because it's a treasure. We had a sermon not too long ago. The beauty, the wonder of being in love. How much more so with Paul's gospel? The beauty and the wonder of being in love. And for any of us that have ever received Paul's gospel, it hits you like that. You know it. And sometimes we feign in that a little bit. We know that. But why? Did he move? Oh, no, he didn't. If anything, he even moved closer. He said, don't hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, I always think about that too, and I'm holding that crown. I'm holding his hand. Like, you know, they do up here as they're holding hands as they're saying the vows. You know what I'm saying? It's love. It is. But see, the Holy Ghost and that ministering, you know, people say, well, you're always talking about love. Well, that's the word of his grace. That's the love. This is why we need to know this and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to see more. I want to see more layers. I want to see more depths. I want to see more wonder. You know? And he's faithful to perform it. And he will. But, brothers and sisters, this, our precious Lord, led into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost to be tested. That's our life. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You receive that faith, but he loves the faith that's tried in the fire, because it comes forth more precious than gold that's tried in the fire. That's what our purpose is. The purpose is he wants us to rule and reign with him. Amen? Well, we know the requirement is the Word of God says over and over, we must suffer together with him. How does that suffering come? I don't want to self-induce suffer. Done it enough. It's not good. But the true sufferings together with him are of the Word. It's of growing in the Word of his grace. And those sufferings come, and we know that. But there's a joy unspeakable that so buffets all of it. It's not even funny, because it's love. Get this. That wonderful Holy Ghost, that life that is separated unto him, that's willing to suffer with him, that was like Rebecca. Rebecca had a beautiful life. She had a beautiful family. Everything was fine. Everything was good. But then she fell in love. She was willing to leave all of that and journey into, if you will, the wilderness. With a bunch of camels and a man, the Holy Ghost, if you will, that was ministering to her about the love of the bridegroom. And she didn't just hear it once or twice at that well and at the family. You know, she heard it all the way on the journey, because she wouldn't have stayed with it. You've heard about the halfway house. You get halfway, you turn back because you quit listening. Something else caught your attention. But no, you stay on it. Hallelujah. You stay with it. Praise God. But she falls in love with the words of the lover. The love story of the master son. And only the words of love can comfort us and give us an abounding hope, even in a wilderness. But that's where it's going to be proven. It says that she comes out leaning upon his breast. She comes out of the wilderness leaning upon his breast. You want to win him, you're going to come out of the wilderness. And it's going to be wild in the wilderness. And it is, and you know it. And if it's not but for the word of God and him encouraging us, we would think these trials strange. Meaning, how could this be for my good? That would be one of the first things any Christian would ever ask that doesn't understand the word of God. How could that be for my good? Isn't that what people always ask anyways? How could God do this if he was a God of love? I hear that over and over. It's so insulting to my God. That's why we need to know him. We need to know his ways. Separated unto him. Let's close this up here. She leads the life of going on with the Holy Ghost. She's set apart for the Master's use alone. And it's all for the purpose, brothers and sisters, of Christ in us, the hope of glory. 1 Thessalonians, we'll depart with these next two readings here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I love this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Isn't that something? If you just left off with verse 23, you'd say, oh, blameless unto the coming of the Lord, I've got to do something. Huh? We know that's a chaste virgin to Christ. Amen. We're back to the glorious church, aren't we? She's a chaste virgin. What is that? Is that a work or is that love? We have these different ones getting married. Why are they abiding faithful to marry that one? It's because they're in love. It's not a chore. I enlist. I'm in love. I want that one. It's the only one I want. I'm not going to do this. Meaning, abide and wait for anyone else. I just want to abide and wait for her. Or abide and wait for him. It's just that one. And isn't it this beautiful? As this says, sanctify you wholly, completely, perfectly. First love. That's what that is. It's first love. And notice, it isn't just for a moment, isn't it? It's till when? Till the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's an abiding in this sanctified life. There's an abiding in this waiting. It isn't, okay, we're getting married. That's great. I'm going to go out. There's a few girls I wanted to see, but I'll be back. I wouldn't be serious, would I? It wouldn't be a first love. There's a joy, a privilege, just like Jacob. And I love that for Rachel. Remember that? He worked 7 years to have Rachel. And boy, did he get a deal. He got her sister. I don't know what her sister looked like, but I'll tell you one thing. He said, I'm hanging in there another 7. And you know what he said after that? Because I wouldn't even got to the 7. I'd have been so mad I'd have killed Laban. You know that. But this guy was really in love. And he said, oh, no, that was just but a day. Where you at now? Come on, where you at? In due time, do you sit there and say, oh, Jesus. I love how fast time now flies for me. Because I'm in love. And I know it's because of Jesus in my life. It just... It's but a day, Lord. But a day. Huh? It's awesome, isn't it? It's till he come, always abiding in that ready state. Set apart in love so much, she leaves her home to be with him. I will go, knowing nothing compares to my love. The wealth of the exceeding riches of his grace for eternity. See, we're always back to love. I'm not going to heaven to get something. I'm going to heaven to get him. I'm going to get him. And in getting him, I get the exceeding riches of his grace, which he's already blown me away. And truly, I can't imagine. No. I can know, yea, the deep things of God by the Spirit, but I'll tell you what, eye has not seen nor ear heard. Amen. But see, brothers and sisters, this is the pattern, if you will, the abundant life of the full overcomer. In like manner as Brother Paul, there's no other way to be set apart to him. Acts 20, 32. I'm going to cheat just a little bit because I want to read that before we go. We got a couple minutes. In Acts 20, 32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's the mark. For the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That sanctified, set apart life. And notice, how did it come? The word of his grace. It's going to give you that inheritance, the inheritance of that fully, holy, sanctified life. This was the goal for those Ephesian elders. It's the goal for us. Praise the Lord. And then finally, as we close in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, well, I'll tell you, His words are most beautiful, brothers and sisters, and let the Spirit speak them to you tonight. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, why all this? Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has made unto us sanctification to be called to obtain the glory for him. Is it any wonder why in Revelation 4, after you see those four living ones, they cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You think they're thankful beyond that holiness, that sanctified life, the perfection of it, that they cry out, thank you. There's a thankfulness in that, that I was set apart by the word of your grace for you. He's been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and we already have it, but next week, God willing, and redemption. Hallelujah. Enjoyed it. Let's be dismissed. Praise his name.
Thou art all fair. Thou art all fair, my beloved. My love, there is no spot in thee. I see you as holy,
Sister, you go ahead and dismiss us, honey. Sister Sandy, you go ahead. You dismiss us.